I think you're leading into a sound cue here.
Right. Something happened. Something happened at KCBS. This was in 1963. Yes. Fred Gerner was on the air with a program. Yeah. Freddie was on the air with one of the talk programs, and he was interviewing Dan McGuire of the San Francisco 49ers, and they were talking about signing R.C. Owens for the pending 1963 or 64 season, one of those seasons anyway, and I don't think R.C. signed with the 49ers anyway, somewhere else. But anyway, a carpenter was doing some work on the other side of the studio wall. He was supposed to knock down a wall. He misread the blueprints, and instead of getting the wall he was supposed to knock down, he started to knock down the studio wall while the program was on the air. So here we are in the middle of that interview with Fred Gerner and Dan McGuire, and down goes part of the studio wall.
R.C. Is a spectacular end with a tremendous gimmick as far as that alley-oop pass goes. At the same time, looking at it from the coaching or the team standpoint, he is not the speedy, fast end that a lot of players in the league are. So you have to come down to it. It's a colorful, spectacular something that R.C. has, but I just have to leave it like that. From my own standpoint, he's an admirable guy, and I hope that he's with us next year.
Dan, that's a fine answer under most trying circumstances. If it sounds like the walls are coming down around the San Francisco 49ers in KCBS, you may be right.
I thought that was R.C. or his rooting section coming in after me.
The Palace Hotel seems to have started construction as of this moment on one of our back walls, and they have just broken through the back wall, and someone is peering through the hole in the wall.
God, I think that's wonderful.
Isn't that a wonderful little...
Amazing that somebody recorded it.
We recorded almost everything in those days, kept them on file, and Freddie just happened to have this and passed it along.
Oh, he sent this today? Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, thanks, Fred.
Yeah, great stuff.
We had to get him to call in.
Maybe he will call in. A lot of funny things happen in those days. You know, we would set each other's scripts on fire, which was a corny thing to do.
No, I think it's wonderful.
But you know, at CBS, there was something that was a dictum, sort of an edict. No self-entertainment on the air.
Yes.
No self-entertainment. And that was a good policy, but not everybody adhered to it.
Well,
we had
Dave McElhattan, for starters.
Oh, yes. Oh, he loved Claudio. I'd be, when I anchored with Dave in the late 1970s, and I'd be in the middle of a story, a news story, I'd be reading along the news story, and Dave would reach over and slap his hand on top of the copy. That meant stop, wind it up, ad lib right there, and get out of it because I need the time.
Oh, my.
But that was the way it was done.
And
it
you're
was radio.
A pretty serious guy, too.
Not all that, he changed me, not all that serious. But back in the early KQW days, in the early 40s, I don't know what happened to it, but we had a full-size phony horse's head that was hollow, so you could put it on over your head.
Yeah.
And the technicians used to love to put that thing on while they were monitoring your program, and of course it would break you up.
Well,
you'd see a technician up there monitoring with a horse's head on.
So, of course. Well, Ken, let's talk about radio technique for a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think, and I do when I listen to the KCBS and the various news sources that I follow, that they can have a little bit more fun with it than they do? I mean, it's all so serious anyway, you know?
We try to have a little fun with it. If somebody makes a mistake, you make light of it. Actually, if I make a mistake, I try to just, you know, go right on past
it,
because it's they tend to feed on themselves. If you make a mistake and try to correct it, then it feeds on itself and you feel...
how infectious it becomes with your colleagues.
With somebody else working with you.
Yeah.
But if somebody makes a vocal flub or something like that, you either ignore it or you make some flip comment about it.
I think it's a very human trait, and I love it when it happens. Mm-hmm. But I also like to hear people laugh at a few of the stories, some of them. Well, I have to ask you a question. What was the look on the guy's face who broke through?
Oh, he stuck his head through the studio wall, and there was much consternation. He looked over there and saw the microphones and the two people talking on the radio. He didn't know what he had done, but he knew a little later.
I'll bet he did.
Misread the blueprints.
We have from Albany, Leon. Leon, good morning.
Good morning. I tell you, this is the most fabulous hour I've had in, I can't say in how many decades.
It's not over with.
I know it is, and I went through the University of California Graduate School with music through that.
Music Till Dawn,
And I tell you, this whole program here just inspires me to say to you people, you've really got to go network with this stuff, because there are an awful lot of radio junkies still around. And I think that...
Now, are you addressing that to me?
Everybody. Everybody there, because to see, I knew the old KGW studios there at the end of the hall upstairs, off of Jesse Street.
Yes.
And I think I was in that building at the time they were remodeling, and I did hear that they were going to shut down the station there for a bit because of going through the wall there. And that was so damn funny to hear this again, and I think that there's an awful lot of people in the Bay Area that know that radio really is part of the Bay Area here.
Well, it's a part of our lives, Ken and mine.
Well, it is, and there are so many people here that love everything that the two of you have done to this radio, that I hope you're taping this hour here, because...
We are.
Good, because this is the one that everybody wants to buy, because this will help support the program and the sponsorship stuff. And let me be the first to say, here's my pledge for $60 to get a tape like that and keep this thing moving.
All right, hold on, because in 2 weeks I'll be back here live, and we start our annual, or not our annual, our biannual fundraising week.
Well, but this is mine.
Wonderful. Just honor it.
All right. It will be honored. It will be honored. And make certain you have plenty of tapes, because I have my KALW coffee mug here for the times that I've been over there to help raise funds, too. So, again, thank you very, very much. This is exciting.
So you're the one I put through college, huh?
You put me through college.
Bless you, Ken.
Thank you.
Anyone else who wants to call and talk with Ken, and I'm loving the phone calls. I think Ken deserves every wonderful comment anybody wants to make. 641-KALW. Tony Herman is out answering the phones and taking your name down. Dave Jensen is on the board here, and this is a new experience working with Dave, and he's doing beautifully. Thank you, David. The number is 641-5259, if you can't remember the letters. Everybody's into letters and all of this kind of stuff, but I kind of like the numbers myself, don't you?
I do, too, yes.
Yeah, I really
do.
I guess I'm an old-fashioned guy.
641-KALW.
Right. We're going to, in a few minutes, have Ken don his old host hat, I should say, or hat as host, of Music Till Dawn. And I've got the music here, and we're going to tease him into doing it like he
used to do.
You want
to do that now, or is it later?
Well, we've got some calls here. I want to talk to some more people. Let's do that. I don't know who we have on. Well, all right, let's move on then. Do you have the cassette up?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's just do that now, because we have time to do that, and then we have another station break here. So
what we're doing here, let's see, you're going to play the cassette of the theme of Music Till Dawn.
I'll play your director. Here comes your theme, and then you jump in and announce the show just like you used to do it. Bring back a whole lot of memories.
Okay.
All right?
And Dave, if you'll, when I give you the fade sign by hand, just fade the music and then bring it up again. Okay, here we go. Good evening. American Airlines greets you with Music Till Dawn.
Bravo.
One more? Is that...
Oh, no, that will bring back so many memories, kid. Absolutely wonderful.
The theme played for a short time, and then I would come in and say something like, good evening, American Airlines welcomes you aboard the flagship city of San Francisco, flight number 4,221.
Yeah. There were an awful lot of those, weren't there?
The last flight, I think, was 5,031.
Oh, my.
Like
and this went on all over the country, too, didn't it?
Not for you. No, I did the San Francisco program. There was an announcer at KNX Los Angeles. Walsh was his name. He did the program down there. And in Chicago, St. Louis, New York, all across
the
country.
That's wonderful. I just wanted to bring back that memory, Ken. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful that you do it. We have on line three, Bob Fouts.
Hey, the one and only. Hey, Danny's daddy. How are you, Danny's daddy?
Well, what a pleasant Saturday surprise to be tooling around the dial and hear Ken Ackerman, you know. Ken, I just got to say this right on top. Every time I hear you on KCBS, I just say to myself, they don't make them like that anymore.
Oh, Bob, thank you.
You know,
very
because
much.
This is what I admired so much about Ackerman from a professional standpoint. Is that no matter what time of day he is on, whether it's midnight, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever, he still brings a professionalism to his job, articulate.
Sportsman years ago. Not too many years ago.
Well, you were talking about Dave McElhattan, and what always cracked me up is here we were sponsored by Roos Brothers and talking about all these elegant clothes, and if you looked across the table, here's with 24-hour growth. And,
the old
and
sack
I'm,
of potatoes.
I'm wearing pajama tops, and friendly Clyde at the piano looks like he's had a hangover.
He probably did. Could I tell something about you, Bob, that may be a little embarrassing, but I don't think so.
What's that?
When you used to get into the studio late?
Oh, yeah.
You grab the Chronicle, the green sheet, and run in.
Yeah.
McElhattan called you Mr. Green Sheet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact...
But you weren't late very often.
No. Well, one morning I was late, and I had gone through every, at 5 a.m., gone through every stoplight, stopping, and, you know, with a flashing red.
Mm.
And some guy tailed me, and he had a loudspeaker, and he said, pull over. I thought it was a cop. And I said, well, look, I got to do my show. I'll come right down for a ticket. I went up, he came back, and he was not there. And what he had done, he was some nut. He called the station management or the switchboard and said, I want to speak to somebody in control. So they gave him the control room. He wanted to get me fired. Well, the engineer didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's certainly great to hear it, hear you and talk about some of the old times.
Nice living these days again.
Yeah. And anyway... You're the greatest, Ken.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Francisco, well, you know, there's a lot of radio.
Yeah, in going through my book of memories, I'm surprised at the number of good programs that did emanate from San Francisco.
Oh, absolutely.
We broadcast, you've heard some that we broadcast at KCBS. KPO, NBC had a lot.
But
KPO,
they were dramas, Ken.
Dramas.
Yeah. Oh,
Jack Webb.
Yes.
Jack started, I believe it was an announcer at KGO. Jack got his start, and he did a comedy program on KNBC. I don't know how long that was on.
I wouldn't imagine long comedy, and he doesn't seem to manage.
Well, it was a funny program. You have to hear a copy.
It really was.
Then he went on to fame with Dragnet, but before Dragnet, he broadcast from San Francisco a program called Pat Novak,
yes.
Detective, and before that, he had a program called Johnny Madero. But anyway, let's listen to just a bit of some good writing and good acting on the part of Jack Webb. Just a little sequence here, about a minute long, of Pat Novak for hire.
Sure, I'm Pat Novak for hire. That's what the sign out in front of my office says. Pat Novak for hire. You don't get in the blue book that way, but you don't embarrass your friends either. Because down on the waterfront in San Francisco, they don't separate the good and the bad. It was about 7 o'clock, and I just started back across the bay from Sausalito. You could still see Mount Tamalpais squatting on the Marin shore, light brown near the top, but dark and black farther down. Like a cupcake that's been in the oven a little too long. A low fog was beginning to squeeze in on the far side, so I kicked in the searchlight, and that's when I picked him up. He was struggling feebly with his face near the water. And...
Oh, yes.
So descriptive.
Good writing, very
yes.
Good writing, good narration by Jack Webb, and the sound effects, I think you'll agree, were
wonderful.
Very first-rate
perhaps,
sound
yeah.
effects.
Yes.
But there were several dramatic programs. We'll hear another one a little later, sort of a dramatic program. But, you know, we were noted in San Francisco for the comedy programs, too, the fun programs. There were lots of those that I used to hear when I was a kid in Sacramento. Carefree Carnival and the Blue Monday Jamboree and on, the Happy-Go-Lucky Hour. A lot of those were on KFRC, which was noted for having particularly large roster of that sort of program. One was called The Breakfast Gang on KFRC, and I think it went into the 1960s, having started much earlier than that. There was a singer in San Francisco at KFRC, Tommy Harris, who passed on this year.
Yeah.
Tommy is a fine tenor, and he started years and years earlier on another program. But let's hear just...
he was on Fibber McGee and Molly. For a while.
He was a singer, a network singer,
yeah.
Back in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Breakfast Gang at KFRC in San Francisco, noted for Blue Monday Jamboree, Happy Go Lucky Hour, and others. And here's just a bit of that program.
It's
time for the Breakfast Gang, brought to you by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and one-a-day brand vitamins. Halo, the shampoo that glorifies your hair. And Calumet baking powder.
Come on, get up, get out of the hay. The Breakfast Gang's here, brighten your day. We'll bring you laughter and music and song. Face all your worries, you won't have them long. Wake up, stop yawning, we'll open your eyes. Have you been going with our exercise? Breakfast is ready, we'll start with a bang. And wish you good morning from the Breakfast Gang.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Breakfast Gang. with Amy, Julie Mason, Sweeney, and your host,
Sal O'Farrell,
and Lyle Bardo and our Breakfast Gang Band. Good morning, neighbors. It's 16 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Breakfast Gang.
And that was a very popular program. It was patterned after an ABC program called The Breakfast Club that came out of Chicago.
Well remembered, of course.
Yes, yeah.
But 7:15 in the morning?
Oh, yes.
Good Lord.
And I mentioned Tommy Harris, who was the singer at KFRC around that time. Mm-hmm. And Tommy wanted to go on to bigger things down in L.A., and he went there for a while. And when he left, Merv Griffin got his start at KFRC as a singer MC. Very good one, too.
Yeah, Merv's been around a lot longer than people know, and it was in radio.
Right. Want to hear another one?
Yes, of course.
This is along the same line. This is an earlier program called Carefree Carnival.
The Carefree Carnival. Smile with me and be carefree, and you will see what it will do. Just keep your chin up and grin up your sleeve when Mr. Blue starts to leave. Smile with me and be carefree, together we will see it through. Cause if you're happy and healthy, the heck with being wealthy, here's a smile for you. The Carefree Carnival with Meredith Wilson's music, the host of entertainers, and Ned Collinger as master of ceremonies. Here he is, Ned Collinger.
See, we had a lot of fun with radio back in those days.
Oh, absolutely. Ned Tollinger, I don't know the name.
I don't know the name. I don't know. I don't know who he was or where he went from there. I have no knowledge of him at all.
People Ned didn't always stay in radio either, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really? Is that
they'd
right?
They'd move on to other things.
Oh, yes, other people, yes.
Production
other
things, and
things,
you wouldn't hear from them in that way,
Mm-hmm.
Whoever called and was upset about BBC World of Books, it will be back next week. Don't panic. And it's on every week.
You can send them a tape.
Yeah, we can send them a tape. Another show that I was a great fan of was Candy Matson. Let's talk
Candy
about
Matson,
that.
Yes. That was on, wasn't that on KPO, the
NBC
station in San Francisco?
Right.
Candy Matson was played by the name
Natalie Masters.
Natalie Masters.
And Monty Masters was
Monty
her
Masters
husband
was,
and also the producer and writer of that show.
Right.
Sure.
Now you're bringing it all back to me. And she was what, a sort of a private eye character, wasn't
she? Well, she was one of the early lady detectives,
So here's a bit from Candy Matson.
Hello, Yukon 28209. Yes, this is Candy Matson. Come on, Mellard. Stop pouting. Enjoy yourself. It's earlier than you think.
Monterey at Christmas time is delightful. Carmel is most enchanting. Salinas, I enjoy. But to haul us way over to some unexplored cannibal country is too much.
Did you hear that, Rembrandt? Cannibal country, he calls it.
Mallard, me boy, this may come as a shock, but San Juan Bautista was founded by the Franciscan fathers in 1797.
I remember it as though it were yesterday.
Don't let him bother you, Ducky. Mallard can't stand this wonderful air. He misses the gas fumes of the big city.
What were other members of the cast on that? Do you remember? Recognize some of the voices?
Yeah, I was recently in touch with Henry Leff.
Henry Leff, yes, I recall that name.
And the others, no, I don't know the names offhand. But we've got our Bible here. We can always check
that
out. Yeah.
But, you know, if I can't recall names and places and programs and place them with the correct radio stations, it's because I worked solely for all the time for that one radio station, you see, and I was locked into what we were doing, and obliquely I knew what was going on the...
Let me ask you a question along that line. Did you listen to other stations?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, we used to have two-hour lunch hours. The announcers always two-hour lunch hours. So I would, if there was a program on KPO that I wanted to hear, I'd go down to my car and have my lunch in the car, and dinner in the car, and listen to a dramatic program, whatever, then go back up and go on duty.
And do it again, sure.
Wasn't that the lush life?
Oh, boy, 2 hours. That's really living, Ken.
How about news?
Well, in a moment. 641-KALW, 641-5259, if you want to call. We have exactly 15 minutes left. This time is just really racing away. So now we were talking about news earlier on. Let's talk about it.
We were, yes, and how I was impressed by that program on A Note of Triumph.
Yes.
And I was also impressed by an announcer who broadcast on the West Coast as the Richfield Reporter. There were a couple of Richfield Reporters on down the line at 10 o'clock at night. One was Sam Hayes, Sam had a crisp, rapid-fire, no-mistake delivery. And here's just an excerpt of what Sam Hayes sounded like.
It's a wide-open race in the American League pennant race. The 2-day, 1-game lead enjoyed by the Boston Red Sox was wiped out tonight, and now the Yankees and the Sox are tied for the lead with 3 games to go, the last 2 against each other this weekend in New York. First, New York overcame a 1-run lead to beat the Philadelphia Athletics 7-5 this afternoon to trim Boston's lead to a half a game. In the Governor's Cup playoffs at Gilmore Field in Hollywood, the Sacramento Solons are leading the champion Hollywood Stars 3-2 in the top of the 9th inning. Oakland defeated the San Diego Padres 13-3 in the other playoff game. Then under the floodlights in Washington, the tired old Senators came to life in the last of the 9th inning to upset the Red Sox 2-1. Washington's winning run was scored when relief pitcher Mel Parnell indulged in a wild pitch. The situation is static in the National League race. Both Brooklyn and St. Louis were rained out. So tomorrow, the Dodgers, trailing the Cardinals by 1 game, will play a doubleheader at Boston, and the Cardinals will use tomorrow's open date for their game at Pittsburgh. Incidentally, if the Dodgers blow one more game, they can forget their pennant hopes for another year. In Detroit, the deadline has passed for the strike of 115,000
quarters. Okay, that's just a little bit of sports history along with some of the history of great reporter Sam Hayes.
Wasn't that delivery great?
Oh, fantastic.
It's a style that's gone. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have on line one Scott, who wants to say hello to you.
All right.
Good morning, Scott. Do we not have Scott? Line two.
This is Len.
Len, all right. All right. I'm sorry.
We'll get to Scott later then.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Len.
My thanks to KALW for so many things, but in particular, thanks for this program. I have 2 questions. I think Howard Duff must be a Bay Area resident, and I'd like to know how I might be able to reach him with a personal letter.
Howard just died.
He just passed away.
He just died about 2 or 3 months ago.
Speaking of great voices, there was a great one.
I've been thinking for so long, I ought to talk to this guy once before he dies. And I guess I just missed it.
You just missed it.
Sorry.
Well, you've heard him recently, though. He's been doing Oakland Tribune commercials up until the time he died. They've pulled him off the air now, obviously, because he's gone. But he was doing some really fantastic...
That was the Howard Duff movie. I thought it was the Howard Duff sound-alike, but that was Howard Duff.
He actually did them.
Well, I heard the commercials, too, and that's why I was reminded regularly that he was probably Bay Area.
We have, if Tony tells me correctly, Scott Beach on line one. Is that correct?
The great one.
Is this Scott?
Hello?
Yes.
There he is.
Hi, how are you?
How are you, Scott? Good morning.
Ken, it's good to hear your voice on the air, as always.
How's Music Till Dawn going? You taking care of my baby?
Well, I've been enjoying doing that, and of course we are able to do it the way we do it because of you, because it was you who got us the recording of That's All.
That's All, yes, and we had to get in touch with American Airlines and also, with the advertising agency and CBS to allow KKHI to use the title and all that, but that's all over and done now, and you're doing it so nicely.
Well, it's been great hearing you and Bud talking and recalling so many things. I have a couple of things that I recall about you at KCBS. I remember when I filled in for you on vacation a couple of times, and I didn't know the whole routine until that first night. And, you know, you went off the air, at 6 o'clock, wasn't it?
5:30 in the morning. I did a farm program between 5:30 and 6.
That's the humorous part of it, because I got there, and I had to do a farm program, and Owen Spann, who went on the air at that time at 6 in the morning,
right,
would come and stand in the door while I did the farm news and say, just in a soft voice, you don't know the first thing about farms. You don't know anything about agriculture. And, you know, I was reading the only thing I guess we didn't have pork bellies, but we had other important news of the day.
But it was quite a contrast, wasn't it, Scott, to get off the air of that beautiful program and then start kicking the sawdust?
It sure was. I remember you, too. You had, I kind of went to school on you. There was a way you had to say, good evening. American Airlines greets you with music till dawn. Not pause, always music till dawn.
Oh, but you say it better.
An Edward R. Murrow pause. And then you would say something like, flight 17,592.
Your program's over there, you've been on, 8 years now, Scott?
Roughly 8 years, yes. Mm-hmm. And enjoying it enormously. I've got, our collection. Well, you know the size of the collection of recordings.
Well, I mentioned it's 65,000 the last time I heard a count.
Yeah, we're over 20,000 compact discs now.
Whoa.
And it's just growing like crazy. And luckily, we're able to, someone was talking to you earlier about different kinds of music that they would like to hear more of. Well, in a program like Music Till Dawn, we have room to put things in that wouldn't possibly be played during the daytime,
just because
of timing or because of people's general tastes and so on.
Yes.
Well, Ken had that same problem, Scotty.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, only it probably was worse because he only had that amount of time.
But we adhered fairly closely, Scott, I think you'll agree, to a popular format.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
You pretty much have to. I mean, if you start playing things that are extremely recherché or something
yes.
like that, you'll have people turning knobs. That's all there is to it.
Well, you could take so much of Alban Berg and some of those people. You know, a little bit of it is fine, but you have to be careful.
Oh, yeah. Well, we always... usually, when people have complained, I've just said, well, stay tuned, because the next piece is probably going to be just what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And
it usually is, too.
Yeah, quite often.
Yeah, yeah. Scott, I'm delighted you called.
Well, thank you, Scott. Good to hear from you again.
I'm delighted to have heard you guys on the air together. It covers so many years of tremendous pleasure that I've had from both of you.
Oh,
thank you.
Bless you.
Maybe see you at the wash bag one of these days.
Okay.
But talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, on line three, we have George. Good morning, George, and thanks for holding.
I became hooked into radio when I used to ride back and forth from East Oakland to San Francisco State with Dave McElhattan. He was the driver.
Uh-huh.
One phase that you haven't touched on is the old KCBS FM.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the sign-offs were always interesting because it was always not megacycles. It was motorcycles or something like that. Tansy Cosell used to clown up those old...
Oh, he shouldn't have done that.
And at that time, it was a joy to tune to KCBS FM because there were no commercials. They mm-hmm. assumed there were no listeners back then to FM.
But somebody has to pay the piper, you know. It isn't like KALW where you have audience sponsorship.
That's right. Again, as other people have expressed their gratefulness, radio continues to enrich my life. It sure did back then in the growing up days.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ken, you have time for just one more excerpt, and then we've got to queue up the theme and get out of here.
Let's get back to just a little bit of news.
Okay.
There were lots of news reporters, analysts, commentators on through the years. We had many of them here on the West Coast. Well, for instance, there was one, William Winter in World War One, a great voice and a very acute mind. In other words, Don Mosley. Don Mosley is still on the air.
He's still here and going strong.
The dean of Bay Area broadcasters, Absolutely. Newscasters.
And tells the meanest story about carving a turkey I've ever heard.
I think every Thanksgiving he brings out a... I hope he doesn't do it this year. Maybe next year,
Don. I want to get a tape of it.
The Bo Carter and Alex Dreyer and Edwin C. Hill and Dick Hottlett, Larry Lesueur, Eric Severide, on William L. Shirer and Murrow mm-hmm. and H.V. Kaltenborn and a fellow by the name of Balkage. During the years when the UN was in session in San Francisco, Balkage was in San Francisco, and he broadcast from here. He was one of the most penetrating commentators and analysts going. He had a lot to say and said it well. Here is Balkage.
Balkage talking from San Francisco on VE Day. And there's no place in the world from which I would rather be speaking today. Most of you have heard the words of President Truman and Prime Minister Churchill. I heard them here in the studio with the radio folk around me. Outside, dawn was spreading over the sky and the Pacific beyond. The occasion is almost too great to try to put into words, but there wasn't one of us sitting here who wasn't moved by what those two men said. It was so simple and straightforward, worthy of this event which they commemorate. History in the making is always hard to feel. I can remember a bright January day in Paris, 1919. I stood outside the office of the Foreign Ministry beside the Seine when the President of France and the President of the United States drove up, were met with a fanfare of bugles to open the peace conference of 1919. Then all of us took it for granted that some way to end wars would be found. We who were still in uniform couldn't believe that a civilized world would have to go through again what we had just gone through. 20 years and 8 months later, I sat in the Kroll Opera House in Berlin when Hitler told the Reichstag the German armies had already marched into Poland. It had happened again.
One of the great news commentators, Balkage, at this time talking from San Francisco. He always started his programs that way, Balkage talking. You never knew what his first name was.
On number 19, you got Cecil and Sally. I know nothing from that show.
Cecil and Sally was a sappy program. I used to hear this when I was 10 years of age over in Sacramento. It came from San Francisco, and I thought it was very funny because it was so sappy. You know, as a kid, you enjoy that sort of thing. It was
Don't you think there was a lot of sappy stuff?
Yeah,
really. It wasn't all golden.
Sally was a sort of a silly girl woman character, and her husband was Cecil. And as I hear the story, the program was written by John Patrick. He played Cecil, and he went on to become a great novelist. He wrote Tea House of the August Moon Hasty Heart. And this program dates from the early 30s. It was one of the first of the syndicated programs. That is, they were syndicated by a syndicator who sent them around. But here's just an excerpt from that silly, sappy Cecil and Sally.
Where's Ichabod? Oh, did you get a saddle for him?
Yep. I was putting it on him when you came over.
Has anyone called to claim him yet?
Not yet. So we can ride him today.
First, we'll ride him together, and then, after I'm not nervous, I want to ride up and down the alley by myself.
Then what are you going to do?
Well, then I'm going to gallop in front of Sybil's house and wave to her.
Yeah, but you don't know how to gallop.
I don't have to. It's the horse that's going to gallop. I'll just sit on him and smile.
How many times have you been on a horse, Sally?
Well, to tell the truth, Cecil, only twice before.
Only twice?
Well, that's all right. Maybe Ichabod's only been ridden on twice before. We'll start even.
Are you going to ride in front of me?
You see how silly and
really
that
was.
But it was good writing.
Yeah.
Very good writing. Very humorous stuff.
It's just the delivery is so old.
She couldn't get away with that today.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, no.
Well, Ken, I have to say thank you immensely for this hour and a half.
The hour and a half's gone?
It's almost gone, yeah.
Let me see. It is. It's almost 11:30. Almost, hey, I've got to head for KCBS after.
I was going to say, Ken has more duty today, but I've enjoyed this so much, and I think Ken has too, and we didn't play one quarter of the stuff that he brought along, so this, to me, requires a return engagement.
If you will, sure. Give me a call. You have my number.
Happy anniversary, Ken.
Thank you very much, Bud.
Well, this has been Bud Carey, and it has been Old Radio Theater, a very special day in my life, and I hope it has been in yours. Ken Ackerman, 50 years in radio, and he was our very special guest today.